All right, you can open up your Bibles to the book of Acts if you're just joining us. This is our second week in the book of Acts. And just real quick, again, if you weren't here last week, it's just a beautiful thing when you're riding the wave of God's plan and you can be confident that God is writing the story, not you. And that's what I tried to emphasize last week, is that we had planned for months. I had planned for months on the preaching schedule, if you will, that the book of Acts was going to start last week. But I only found out 3 weeks prior to that that it would be here in this building. So I believe that God was planning for months and months that our first Sunday in this building would be the first week in the book of Acts. And that we're on a journey with God, and God's writing the story. And that's just, there's nothing more important to me than just knowing we're just right where God wants us. Because we don't have it all together, and we're not a perfect church, and we got a ton to grow. I got a ton to grow, you got a ton to grow, that's the life. But, just good to know that we're right where God wants us. We're on the journey with him, and he's writing the story. And so I was just wanting to encourage us last week with I believe that's one of God's big messages in all this. And we did see this incredible scripture last week that just, I got to reiterate it because it's the lens, it's the framework that the author, which we saw was Luke, wants us to see the whole book of Acts through. It's one little phrase, I think it's verse 8 of chapter 1, where Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." And we saw how that is the framework, the lens, if you will, that the author, Luke, wants the reader to see everything else that happens in the book of Acts through. Because you guys probably are familiar at some level with the book of Acts. It's just like, wow, crazy cool stuff happens. And it does, and we're going to get there. But what the author does very first and foremost, puts a lens on that and says, "What I want you guys to see, everything that happens is because the power came upon them of the Holy Spirit." So the book of Acts is known as the Acts of the Apostles. We said it really should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And so I just want us to just be prepared that everything we see, it's not by accident. It's not because, the apostles are so super cool. Oh, wow, the early church is just better than everybody else. No, it's God wants us to see that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that all of what we see is possible. And the beautiful message is that same Holy Spirit, it was on Christ in his ministry that rose Christ from the dead. Jesus said, "I now give to you." So as we see this, we want to be an expectant church. We want to be a dependent church on the Holy Spirit, that he will make us into that kind of supernatural church. Amen? You with me? So that's the message from last week. If you missed it, it's on the podcast on weareelevation.com. Encourage you just to get it because it's so important to have the intro, the framework, before we go into the rest of our time. So moving on, we are now in Acts chapter 1, verse 12. And we're going to read through verse 2, 4, but we're just going to read a couple selected verses here and move on. So in chapter 12, quick question. Can you guys see this better than last week? Is this clear? Because last week I got some good feedback that it was in the wrong color and size and everything, so you couldn't read it well. Can we read this? Thumbs up? Okay. All right, cool. Then we're set. All right, so it's verse 12, chapter 1, says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem," this is the apostles, "from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem." That's where Jesus had just said, "Hey, wait for me, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. A Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered, they went to the upper room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James." Here's a key phrase for today. "All of these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." For now, we're going to jump down to chapter 2, verse 1. And it says then, "And when the day of Pentecost arrived," which is a Jewish festival, "they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." We're going to pause there for today. because I want us to see something that I honestly had never seen before, but just blew off the page today, this week. A very important point here and focus for today. We see Luke teach that unity in the body precedes power in the spirit. Unity in the body precedes power in the spirit. It's not an accident that this unity prayer that Luke makes a point of, that they were in the upper room just praying, praying in one accord until the outpouring of the Spirit came. It's not an accident that this unified prayer preceded the power of the Spirit. I believe that Luke points this out on purpose. And in fact, he emphasizes it throughout the book of Acts. Huge things would happen, and look for that. You could just go in your concordance and even look up this phrase, one accord, in the book of Acts. It's like five or six times right before or after something big happens, Luke points out, and the believers were in one accord. So he is trying to show this message right here very powerfully as we begin the book, as there's this famous outpouring of the Spirit that happens in chapter 2 where all the fun stuff starts to happen, if you will. All sorts of powerful things take place. And of course, everybody wants to be a part of that, right? That's the good stuff. We all want our lives to look like that. It's like, wow, if my life, my church, if my family could look like the book of Acts, wouldn't that be incredible? And I believe Luke, in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, teaches a very key point here right at the beginning that shows us a key ingredient of this outpouring and why this outpouring of the Spirit took place. They were all together in one accord. And that phrase, one accord, it's very interesting. It's just one word in the Greek that literally means with the same mind or the same spirit. So what we're going to see here is that this unity in the spirit, unity of our minds, is truly the conduit for the Holy Spirit to flow in maximum power. And I want to start us with a visual here. You can pop up this slide here on the screen. So you see this, a little hard to see, but these are electrical cables, right? Definitely not an electrician, but even just by looking at those, it's like, all right, I can see what's going on. Each of those individual little wires, little copper wires, is that right, Randy? Are those copper? Where are you at? Is our electrician? Is that right? Is that copper? Okay, sure. Come on, dude. This is the guy that's up on top of the telephone poles, like 50 feet high. You know, the guy when the black's out and there's like no power, he saves your day. So each of those little copper wires can carry a certain amount of electricity, but each one is limited. But if you bind them together in one accord, a bunch of individual wires, then the amount of electricity that flows through there can greatly increase. Am I on the right page, Randy? Okay, got the thumbs up from our in-house electrician. So, is this not what Luke is saying? That the family of God, like an electrical cable with many little strands here, each of us, I am, you are, we each carry, if you will, a small measure of electricity, but when bound together in one accord, create the possibility for massive flow of electricity. I'm just one little wire. I need to be united with all of the wires if I want to truly see the full power of the Holy Spirit that is possible in our midst. I want to tell a story here. Some testimony of how we are experiencing this in our youth team. I think we've shared a little bit here and there, but on our youth team, we were hitting a ceiling. Everyone was feeling that there was something off. We were kind of at this block, this roadblock. Just something wasn't right. We're trying to move forward with the kids, just continue to see God do awesome stuff. But we all felt kind of like this bumping up against something. And so in one of our monthly leaders' meetings, there was just something in the air. It was just thick. It was icky. But thankfully, it then popped. And someone shared that they were just really frustrated by some things that have been going on the team amongst one another. And then another person shared they were frustrated at some other things, some similar, some different. And then another person shared that they were frustrated. And it became this just uncorking, if you will, of this team of about 10 people that have been together for about a year, doing life together, doing ministry. And obviously, we see our youth, they're doing awesome stuff. So a lot of fruit, a lot of love for one another, a lot of celebrating, a lot of joy together. But this had not happened yet. The pop of, but you know what? That really hurts my feelings, or that frustrates me, or that confuses me. And so we had this night where it was just lots of frustrations getting out on the table. And it felt really good. It felt really good. Everyone, I think, had this collective, wow, this feels really good. But there wasn't a ton of resolution. So we said, you know what? This is good stuff. I believe this is God-ordained stuff. This is the hard work that a lot of teams, people's, relationships, marriages even never even get to. So this is good. Let's meet again in a couple weeks, and let's continue talking through and see what God wants to do, because I believe it's significant. And so in that time, not by accident at all, one of our youth leaders came across a teaching by a group of people we very, very well respect, all of us as youth leaders. And it was a teaching called Brave Communication. And so it was all about this stuff, is how do you get all this stuff on a team, get all the people together that come from such different backgrounds, personalities, hurts, wounds, expectations. It's all, wow, so different in a lot of ways. How do you walk through and navigate those waters to be a unified team? So we listened to, we all had the kind of the assignment to listen to these CDs and come ready to share what's something that pops out. If you're in our DGs, what's a Kairos moment for you? What's a moment where God is showing you something in this where you know it's like, wow, okay, God, you there's something you want to say to me in this. So we all came ready to share that, but it was crazy. Before we even got there in that meeting, people started living it out amongst themselves. We didn't just talk about, you know, like, hey, what's the theories that you liked? It was like, boom, we're putting it into practice right now. And people started sharing, picking up where they left off with some of those frustrations. And we just saw this absolute beautiful thing happen, where from frustration and hurt and feeling distance from one another, as it was talked through with using some of this just good communication, brave communication, we saw a shift take place. And from what was hurt, what was frustration, what was from anger, even to the point of like, I don't even know if I want to be on his team, to feeling that be released. And Eric came up and shared, he was part of that. He shared part of his testimony of that night. It was a beautiful testimony of how, you know, from feeling stirred up and angry to, whoa, as we talked about this, something bubbled up, released, melted away. And through that process that night, there was a much greater level of unity, trust, intimacy, closeness, relationally, and through that, power. And we're not done. We're not a perfect team now because we've had one good, two good, three good, four good conversations. It's a process. But what I saw in that was, wow, this unity, this one accord, it takes work. It takes a lot of work, but it's worth it. It's worth it. We're seeing the fruit of it as we continue to process that. And we've come to use some language there that I believe is from God for us to set our culture as a church. One of the things, Eric talked about this idea of a wedge. That was his feeling of it. And I think we all immediately grabbed onto that. We want to do brave communication to remove wedges. And I want to use a parallel from this story right here. This is just real life. And I share testimony because, guys, we don't just want to talk about the scripture. We want to become the scripture. We believe Jesus wants the scripture to become our life. So I want to share with you guys these real stories. Yeah, we don't have it perfect. We don't have it all together, but God's doing it because that's what life's about. We are on this journey. It's our core passion. Keep discovering. We don't have it all together, but when we're submitted and surrendered to God, he always has more awesome stuff for us. So I want to share the real story. That this stuff's real. It's needed, and it's powerful. So I want to share this analogy right here. So imagine we saw our wires before, right? So I'm going to ask you guys to use your imagination a little bit, okay? And imagine that this is those wires we saw, okay? This is we'll say the youth team. Each of us is a little wire, if you will. If you can actually see the threads in there. So imagine that there's those little copper wires in there. And what we experienced on the youth team, and using that language wedge, if there's something that's frustrated, it's confusing, that's hurtful, that we let fester and it stays in there, what we saw right there, a little wedge. And you let it stay a little longer. So I want you to think now, marriage, family, close friend, co-workers, leadership team that you're on, discipleship group members, whatever it may be, ministry partners. And as we saw so powerfully, if we let those wedges remain, it's a dangerous place to be. The Holy Spirit is not able to flow. And our fears, our insecurities, the pokes of the enemy, all those together, just doesn't take much. But over time, boom, it's gone. And what was connected before, all together, as we saw, those strands need to be together for the full power of the Holy Spirit to flow through. Now look what happens. Boom, half the power's gone. If we want the Holy Spirit to be flowing through us, I need that other half back. And that's just one example. I mean, think of if there was multiple wedges on the team. Just start busting off all over the place, and you see where I'm going. The power of the Holy Spirit that's possible to flow through our life as a family is greatly diminished. And we walk around thinking, wow, why is my church not powerful? Why does my life look so little like the scripture? Why does my life not look like the book of Acts? Why don't I live a life close to the apostles and all this power? Jesus gives us some very clear teaching. The book of Acts gives us some very clear teaching on there is a necessary unity to see the fullness of the power of the Spirit. And I want to take us there. I'll take us to a quick teaching of Jesus. And I believe that this is a prophetic word from God for us. Because as we were walking through this process with the youth team, my wife felt like she had a vision. By the way, there's my lovely wife in the back. It's my one-year-old's one-year birthday today. So there we go. There it is. Simba, you know? Yeah. So I kind of parallel his life with our church. So, you know, we're 1 year old. We're still in diapers as a church. It's okay. Just accept it. We're growing. But no, there they are. Love those guys. But anyways, as I was processing this through her and sharing, man, this is just awesome stuff happening with the youth team. It's so close to my heart as I've seen the fruit of it in my life. And as a leader, just waiting and not sure how to make it happen here. And just to see God, again, writing the story, beautifully bring it to pass. And she felt like that God put something on her heart. That this, she saw, whether it's a word picture, a vision, whatever you want to call it, and I'll throw it out there and you guys can see how it resonates. She saw a root system. And that this brave communication stuff was a God-given root system, and that there's going to be a season now. We are coming upon a season in elevation where God is inviting us to build that root system. That build that root system of healthy communication, brave communication, so that this isn't our reality. But as we move forward and want to live in the fullness of the power of the Spirit, let's not get ahead of ourselves. As we get into the book of Acts and see all this awesome stuff, let's not get ahead of ourselves and think it's just going to happen magically. There's hard work. There's hard work to be done. There's a root system to be grown. And God's been so gracious and he's pouring out and he's doing awesome stuff. It's not like we're at this crisis moment. But after being together for a year, as the youth team was, awesome things are happening. But it's just the reality. That's why it resonates with me. It's just the reality that the absence of conflict doesn't mean that there's true unity. You just may not know the person well enough to have gone to that place. I mean, you could be absent of conflict on the surface, but on the inside be very unified. You could be very frustrated, very conflicted, very confused, very hurt, as all came out on the youth team. And so as we've been together as a church going on 17 months right now, we're celebrating our 17th month, and you guys, a lot of you have been here from the beginning, there's going to be those, the more you do life together with people who are imperfect, with different backgrounds, different personalities, different upbringing, different culture, different expectations, different, well, I did it this way in my house. Every single one of you has a different one of those. And so it takes work to forge that unity. And I believe that was a right-on word from the Lord that my wife got. This is about a month ago now, that we're moving into a season that, yes, God wants to pour out in great things, but let's also not get ahead of ourselves. Let's do the hard work of this brave communication that forges unity. And so I want to take us to a teaching here on Jesus where this is his most, in a nutshell, like in three verses, he gives a whole process, a rhythm of life on how do we unite together. And what we are going to see from Jesus right now is that unity is hard work. It's forged through conflict. It's forged through healthily communicated conflict. Now, I might be making up words there. I don't know if healthily is a word, but I don't care because it's the only thing that's going to fit. Healthily communicated conflict actually forges unity. Jesus teaches it really clear that conflict is not something that has to be big and scary and bad. It's actually, when done right, it's the only way to truly have the unity that we're made for. So I want to walk us through here Jesus' very clear teaching. And it's hard. I am not saying this is easy. This is hard work. I've been working on this for the last 11 years in my marriage, and it's hard. It's not natural to do it well. It takes a lot of work, but it's worth it. It is so worth it, as we've seen, because we want to be this people. We want our marriages to be this. We want our friendships to be this. We want our church to be this. We want our ministry teams, the full power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Amen? Is that not what we want? All right. So here we go. Luke 17. Mark this one in your Bibles. It's like two verses and life-transforming verses because Jesus gives us a rhythm on how to forge unity through healthy conflict. He says in 17, 3 and 4, pay attention to yourselves. Like, watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. Be careful if you, basically what he's saying, if you feel those wedges building up, watch yourself and respond quickly. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. How many of you, this is your favorite verse? Anybody got that tattooed on your arm? Yeah, cool. I live by this. Yeah. Nobody. This is hard stuff. But Jesus is going to show us a better way. Because let's be honest, on our own, we don't do it well. I mean, there's all sorts of ways to do it badly. We probably all grew up with that. I mean, there's a way of avoidance where, you know, conflict just happens. You get hurt, you get frustrated, you get angry, and you just bottle it up to the point where there's just distance. There's not trust anymore in your relationships. There's not intimacy. There's not openness. There's not closeness. You've just settled for distance. Or maybe there's the other one where it's just a toxic conflict. Yeah, everything gets out on the table, but it's so abrasive and angry and condemning and rude that it's not productive. It's just a... Or maybe there's some combo in between where it would be, you know, I hold on to it for a while. I try to bury it. But then it bubbles up to the point when I explode. And you know how that goes too. Is that ever productive? Does that bring closer together? Jesus has a better way. Do you want more of the kingdom of God to come into your life, into your relationships? There's a better way. And here it is, right here. And there's lots of teachings, actually, from Jesus. Matthew 18 is a huge, long, whole chapter on it. Luke 7 is a very close, just, here's the three words you need to remember. And then say, God, teach me, because this is hard stuff. First word he says in here, if your brother sins, you got something against your brother, you're hurt, you're wounded, you feel a wedge, he says, rebuke him. Rebuke her. That's a very strong word. So be careful. Now, it does mean, it is a strong word. But what it means is be direct. Let it be known. Let it be clear how you feel. But there's a great quote from one of the guys who taught this grave communication stuff is that the truth may be hard, but it doesn't have to be harsh. What you share may be hard to share because, like, wow, I'm really hurt by this. It's really confused me. It's really disappointed me. But it doesn't have to be harsh. And that's where there's lots of other teaching from Jesus. Everything should be done in love. Paul picks this up, Ephesians 4:12, and he says, speak the truth in love. Check this verse out. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. That is a ridiculous verse. Get what it's saying. Same thing as Jesus. The one of the key biblical ways to become more like Jesus is to speak the truth to one another in love about those ways that we are not like Jesus. If you want to become more like Jesus, which is your destiny, to have your life transformed, to have your character transformed, to be refined, so more and more you are purified so that your heart becomes the heart of Jesus, which is our hope for everything. That's what we say right in our core passions. We want to keep discovering so we can be transformed from one degree of glory to another, to be more like Jesus. That's what life's about. It says so clearly, a primary way is to speak the truth to one another in love. Wow. That's hard. That is hard. That's scary. But what I want us to see is this isn't about spending all your energy with your radar on of, oh, how are they not like Jesus? How are they not like Jesus? Ooh, radar. Wow, they're messed up. Oh, wow. Well, have you seen that guy? You know, like your radar is flying off the charts of, wow, all these people are so much not like Jesus. I got to go tell them. No. Before we get there, the point is that Jesus, in his teachings, is showing us he wants better for us than distant, shallow, untrusted relationships that just stay at the superficial high five, handshake, smile. He wants better for us. He wants within his body, his family, to reflect heaven, which is described in Revelation as very simply God's people loving God and loving one another. Let's get started on it now, Jesus is saying. You want heaven to come to earth now? Life is all about love God, love one another. That takes work. He wants better for us. He wants deep, trusted, authentic, loving, powerful relationship. But he says, one of the ways we got to get there is when that stuff comes up, we don't go blasting one another, but we speak that truth in love. And I want to give us a quick little phrase that to me is so practical. It's in your lift notes if you got it. If you didn't get some lift notes, write it down. It'll be on the lift notes. I want to give you a practical tool to just begin these kinds of conversations in a way that's humble, that doesn't blow someone out of the water. So if someone's hurt you, confused, frustrated, a very helpful way of speaking the truth is simply a phrase like this. Hey, would you help me understand where you were coming from when this happened? Because I felt, and then you share, I felt hurt, I felt confused, I felt frustrated, I felt distant when this took place. So there's so many reasons why that's combining a lot of actually important phrases. Sometimes you just need to come and just say, hey, I just want to share with you, I just felt this way when this happened. And there, don't accuse, that's the point. You're not accusing, you're saying, here's what I'm feeling on the inside. Help me understand what was going on there. So by doing that, you're not assuming, you're not taking a position of judgment and arrogance where you're assuming that you knew what was happening in them. You knew exactly what they're going through. You knew their motives. You knew their background. You knew their upbringing, and you're, boom. It's giving them the benefit of the doubt that, hey, I want to hear. I don't have it all together. I was hurt. Here's what I was feeling. But share with me what's going on. And right there, there's the open door. There's an open door. That's the truth and love. You're hurt. You're sharing it. You're frustrated. You're angry. You can even say, I mean, it's fine. But it's not accusing, saying, I felt like this when this happened. Help me understand what's going on. Because I don't want to have that wedge. I want to work on it. So right there, that will transform your life if you can share that kind of honesty with people close to you. And the second piece, Jesus said, a regular rhythm in community is to repent. Now, I know repent is a scary word, but it doesn't need to be. That's one of the things we go over big time in our discipleship groups. Repent is not a dirty word. It is not about judgment and condemnation. The Bible says God's kindness leads us to repentance. It's kindness that leads us to repentance, and it simply means to change or to turn. Change your mind, turn around. And we've seen this before, preached it when we were going through the book of Mark. The gospel, Jesus says in Mark 1:15, is that more of heaven is within reach. Jesus says the gospel is the kingdom of God is at hand. What's kingdom of God? More of heaven, at hand, within reach. So Jesus is saying, guys, look, the good news, the gospel, is that more of heaven is available to come to earth. It's at hand. It's right within your reach. And then what does he say next? So repent and believe. Now get the picture. God's saying more of heaven's over here. Our natural inclination is to be walking this way, doing it on my own strength, in my own ways, in my own wisdom. And Jesus says, repent. What does that mean? Turn. Line up with God. Change the way you think and act. Do it God's way. So it's just this. It's turning. In God's kindness, he wants us to get excited about it. That, wow, you know, I might have the opportunity to repent. And that's actually good news because that means more of heaven is going to come into my life. I don't have it all together. I'm messed up. I'm imperfect. I'm still a sinner. So there's an opportunity to repent. Jesus said, that's good news. That's good news. It means more of heaven wants to break into my life right now. I just line up with it. So we've got to get out of this mindset of repent is this really dirty word, or to change the way you think, to change the way you act means somehow you're a bad person or you don't have it together, so be embarrassed. The gospel is Jesus saying, none of us have it together. None of you guys have it together, but I got good news. Line up with me and your life will have more of heaven. That's good news, right? So repent is something that we actually should look forward to. You got something? Something hurt you? Please share it with me. I want to hear that. Tell me. I want to grow. God might have some good news for me right now of how I can get more of heaven in my life. I may have to let go of some silly little attitude that I have, but wow, for more of heaven, I'll take that exchange. And so Jesus said this rhythm here is that for community to get really good at speaking the truth and repenting. That we should look forward to opportunities to say, you know what, wow, Holy Spirit, I'm hearing something from somebody. What do you have to say to me in that? Where's your truth in that, God? Someone's bringing something. And our first response should be, okay, opportunity to repent. Now, maybe the person's way off. Maybe there's nothing in it. But usually that's not the case. Usually there's at least something in it. And you say, God, I hear what's going on. Would you confirm in my spirit if there's something in here that you're just calling me to line up? You're not coming here to condemn or to judge. You're in kindness inviting me into lining up with you so that I have more of heaven in my life. And so you see what God's doing here. He's saying the community is the means through which more of heaven breaks into our life. We need one another. The body of Christ, we're not made to do it solo. If you think you're doing it solo, you're just missing out on a ton of the power that God has to bring more of heaven into your life. Are you with me? You excited? Okay, find someone in the room that you've got a wedge with, and we're going to... We're going to practice. All of a sudden, some of these heart rates went way up, some dropped, some of you are dead. Dave's like, no! You're going to come right to me, huh? All right. One other little verse on this repentance that's a very, very, very good verse from Jesus. Matthew 7:1-3. It says, judge not that you not be judged. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your eye? And if there's a lot of things Jesus is saying there, but for today, one of the core things coming out of that is that as a practice, as an action, as a rhythm of rebuke or speaking the truth in love and repentance, as those are rhythms, Jesus is cautioning us, saying again, look, you don't make the primary focus of your energy running around to try to point out problems in everybody else. Jesus is saying our primary energy is invested in, God, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to show me? How do you want to grow me? How do you want me to get the log out of my eye. And you see the difference? Where do you invest your primary energy? And Jesus is saying it's not in pointing out all the problems in other people. It's your primary energy is looking to how can I grow? How are you offering me in, how are you inviting me into repentance, God, so that I can get more of the gospel? And trust me, if each of us walks around with this kind of humility, where we're not scared when someone brings something, but actually much more, ooh, this is an opportunity for me to grow. And I'm going to look, God, Jesus assumes that it almost always takes two to tango. If there's a problem, there's almost always something that's in our eye that can be removed. So if you don't trust me, trust Jesus. If there's a problem between you and another person, you are almost always part of the problem. So Jesus is saying, be humble. That's not a big deal. Who cares? Get over it. I'm here to redeem you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to say, look for it. Just God, is there a log here? Is there something I could do better so that I can have more of heaven? Is that not good news? All right. Last point. Here we go. If your brother sins, it says rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And here's the thing. If he sins against you 7 times a day and says, I repent, forgive him. So here's the third part of the rhythm, the third part of the process. Rebuke, or speak the truth in love. Repent and forgive. That is a three-part rhythm that is the foundation of healthy church. Healthy relationship, according to Jesus. Repent and forgive. Now, what's crazy here? Jesus says, get ready to forgive a lot. That's a crazy statement from Jesus. Get ready that you may need to forgive that imperfect person that's in your midst, your spouse, your kids, your friends, your ministry team, 7 times in a day. How many of you have ever done that? One. Amen. Amen. Well, we're at 1% power in our church. 1 out of 100 is awesome. Oh, I don't know that I have. Well, no, I have. Yeah, no, my wife and I have got some good ones. So 7 times a day, yeah. It was my end. I had a big log. She had a little speck, I'm sure. Right, babe? A quick word. Forgive does not mean that you condone someone's actions. Let's make that very clear. It's actually the opposite, and I don't have time. It's a whole teaching. But in a nutshell, forgive means that you are giving over your right to vengeance. You're entrusting it to God. And you're trusting that he will take care of that person in the right way and the right time. That he is the ultimate God of justice. And you don't need to bear the burden of trying to wait for and get vengeance. Because that burden will be toxic to your soul. You're not made to be the judge of the universe. And if you try, it'll eat you inside. It's a poison. So, by forgiving, Jesus is saying, let go of that right you have. It's a right you have. I want you to hear that. When someone wrongs you, you have a right to be angry. But Jesus is saying, under this new covenant of grace, will you let that go and entrust it to me so you can live in the freedom of peace and forgiveness? And let's go one step deeper. The why. Why should we forgive someone so much who's hurt us so much? They don't deserve it. And that's true. But Jesus teaches a parable. On the parallel passage to Luke 17 is Matthew 18, where Jesus teaches about forgiveness when he says this crazy thing of forgive someone 7 times a day. Even in that passage, he says, even 7 times 70, 490 times. I haven't got there yet. But why? And he tells this parable that ultimately the point of the parable is this. And read it, Matthew 18. If you can get in touch with how much God has forgiven you, you will become a forgiving person. That will give you the strength to be able to let it go. Because you know God's done the exact same thing for you, but 10,000 times more, is what Jesus says in that parable. And Paul picks up the exact same thing, 2 Corinthians 7, where he says, Ephesians 4:32, don't know where that came from. Forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Think about that. That is the hope of my life, is that God will not treat me as I deserve, but rather through Christ will lavish me with love. I really don't want what I deserve. I don't pray, God, give me what I deserve today. Don't pray that prayer. Because I want to see you next weekend. My life is based upon the fact that in Christ, I don't get anything of what I deserve. As Psalm 103 says, you do not treat me according to my iniquities deserve or repay me according to my sins. Jesus took that payment so that he could crown us. Crown us. That's royalty. Crown us as beloved sons and daughters of the King and treat us like that every day of our life. So if that's the hope of my life, Jesus is saying, if you can feel that, if you do feel that, to the extent you experience that, you should be able to then give that away. And that's a strong word from Jesus, so check yourself. If you don't have that to give away, get back to the basics of who you are in God's eyes and who God is for you. Because he's trying to give us here a rhythm to bring heaven. Let me close with this. I want to go back real quick to that seven times a day. Rebuke, speak the truth in love. Repent, ask how God I can line up. Forgive, extend to them that you will not treat him as you deserve. You will give it over to God. And in that seven times a day, what it's speaking loud and clear, guys, we got to get to the point where this can be normal. And it doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't. It doesn't. We're getting to the place with the youth team. I love it that we can just say, hey, guys, let's talk through some stuff. I got some stuff. Let's talk through it. And it doesn't have to be scary. You actually feel closer through it, more love as brothers and sisters or with my wife. It doesn't have to be scary. It actually gets us closer to each other and closer to God. But this is going to take work. But I want you to see, where else does Jesus teach you to do something seven times a day? Find it. It's not there. I don't see any other single place in Jesus' teaching where he commands you and tells you, get ready, do this seven times a day. He is telling you that this is the root system for healthy community. This is not the icing on the cake. Oh, if I feel like it. Oh, if I get to it. It's let this be regular interaction if you want to see the Holy Spirit in full power in your life and the redemption, the healing, the transformation of your life to be more like Christ. If you want that, this will be a regular rhythm. Wow. That's a challenge for us to work on this. And lastly, I'm just going to close with that idea that from this being a central, integral part of how God has designed in his wisdom, in this new covenant family that we are, for a community to be the conduit of the kingdom to flow through in power as a collective body and for ourselves individually to be transformed, to be closer to God closer to Christ. Do you see how like everything comes together in this? How Jesus said the point of life is to love God, love one another. And if we want to go change the world and have an impact, then we got to be unified, all this, these electrical wires together in one accord. There is so much on the line here to see the kingdom come. And so I just want to say, let's work hard at becoming a community who can live into this regular rhythm with ourselves, with one another, spouses, kids, coworkers, friends, ministry teams, ministry leaders, of rebuke, repent, forgive, so that we remove those wedges and truly build deep, authentic community that unites our hearts, our minds, and our spirit together in unity, so that the Holy Spirit can flow. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for the gospel, that you have such good news, that more of heaven is right there within reach for us as we line up our lives with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would break some new ground here. As that word was spoken of a root system that you want to build into Elevation Church, Lord, we want to declare that over this place, that you would build those roots in Jesus' name. By Jesus' power, you would build that root system. Because we've got to be honest, if we haven't intentionally done it, then we don't have it, God. And we haven't intentionally done it anywhere near to the degree that you invite us into. So God, we want to say we welcome this new season into Elevation, where we are going to intentionally work on this rhythm that you give us. We speak it back to you and say yes. We say to you a collective yes, Lord. We're going to do it. So we just pray that in that process, you would give us the grace, the humility, the love, the strength, the courage. For some of us, maybe the first time we've ever done something like that. But to speak that brave communication, that kingdom communication that breaks down walls, removes wedges, brings unity, brings transformation. Oh, there's so much good fruit. So we pray for it. In the name of Jesus, and I pray you would show each one of us where to start. And I actually want to do that right now. Let's just take one brief minute of silence and ask. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to do some work if he wants to. Just create a space and say, I want to just hear the prayer. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that if there are wedges that you want to reveal to people that are in their lives right now that they've been holding on to, whether it's a friend, a family, a brother, a sister in the church, a spouse, whatever it is, that you would show them right now. And there may be a lot, so we don't expect this overwhelming thing, but show someone, show every person where you want them to start by just simply saying, hey, help me understand what's going on here. I was hurt by this. This is how I felt. And Lord, I just pray for an absolute divine anointing on that first conversation, where you would bring kingdom victory, that it may be the first of many, many healthy conversations that lead us to be the people of God you've called us to be. So right now, we're just going to wait, Lord, and ask for your Holy Spirit to put someone on our heart. Thank you, Lord. And I just pray an anointing of supernatural courage to follow through in love with those open lines of communication. For your kingdom's sake, Jesus, for your glory in our life, in this church, for our joy in you and with one another, I pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, yeah.
more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at weareelevation and on Facebook at facebook.com/weareelevation.